You're about to enter a place of wonder, excitement, and discovery. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey. Once there was a great king, a wicked knight, and a beautiful maiden. Lots of stories begin that way. Fairy tales filled with intrigue, plot, and counterplot, suspense and danger, and unexpected twists of fate, where evil may have the upper hand for a while, but good ultimately reigns supreme. Like I said, most of those stories are fairy tales. But did you know that there's a real story like that in the Bible? And we're going to hear all about it on today's Adventure in Odyssey, which will begin right after this. Bernard Walton, Odyssey's window washer and part-time help at Wit's End, also happens to be an excellent storyteller, as Robin and Melanie are about to discover.
Oh, don't you cry for me, for I come from Alabama with a banjo on my knee. they don't write songs like that anymore.
You said it was good, Robin. It is good, Melanie. We just can't get inside it, that's all.
Well, hello there, Robin. Melanie?
Hi.
Hi, Mr. Walton.
And how are the Jacobs girls today?
Bummed.
Bummed?
Yeah, you know, upset.
Oh, good. For a minute there, I thought you were going to start riding the rails.
Riding the rails?
Yeah, but skip it. So, what are you bummed about?
The imagination station's not working.
Oh, yeah, I know. That's why I'm helping behind the counter here.
Mr. Whittaker said a part went out on it, and that it won't be up and running again for another week.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, that's why I'm behind the counter here.
Well, I've never been in it before. Robin told me all about it, how exciting and incredible it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I wanted to see it for myself. I guess I'll have to stay bored.
Sorry, Mel.
Now, wait a minute. Am I hearing what I think I'm hearing?
I don't know. What are you hearing?
Two normal, healthy young women telling me that they need a machine to keep them from being bored?
Yep, that's what you're hearing, all right.
Well, I don't believe it. I'm sure Wit never intended for this contraption to take the place of your imagination. Just help it along. You should be able to have just as good a time without it.
Really? How?
How? Kids think they gotta have a machine for everything. You ever heard of reading? Tell each other a story.
No offense, but I don't think that's as fun as the imagination station, Mr. Walton.
Oh, you don't, huh? What are you doing to these kids, Wit? All right, I can see I'm gonna have to prove it to you, so get comfortable.
Comfortable?
You don't know what the word means? Get comfortable. Nothing worse than a squirming kid when you're trying to tell a story.
You're gonna tell us a story, Mr. Walton?
You see anybody else standing here? Now, what do you want to hear about?
That's really nice of you, Mr. Walton, but you really don't
have... What do you want to hear about?
Mel?
Well, most of the stories we hear around here have boys or men as their hero.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear a story where the hero is a girl.
Yeah, or women. We're not picky.
You want the female side of things, huh? All right. I want you to close your eyes and concentrate real hard now. I'm going to tell you a story about a brave young girl named Hadassah.
Hadassah?
No, you probably know her better by her biblical name. In fact, she's one of only two women who have books of the Bible named after them.
Is it Ruth?
Nope.
Oh, then it must be Esther.
Very good. I see your brain still working. Now, the story begins during the reign of a great king named Xerxes, spelled with two X's. He was the ruler of the Medes.
I thought it was the Persians.
Well, one man's Mede is another man's Persian. Anyway, this particular year, he decided to throw a party for all the officials in the kingdom. It was a huge celebration. Lasted 6 months.
Now that's a party.
Quite, Robin.
In those days, men and women weren't allowed to mix it up at social gatherings. So Xerxes' wife, Queen Vashti was her name, threw a party for the officials' wives. Now, Vashti was a lovely woman, and on the final day of the party, Xerxes, who by now was feeling no pain, wanted to show her off. So he sent one of his servants to fetch the queen.
You, servant!
Yes, sire?
Go and tell Queen Vashti that her husband desires her presence.
My lord?
Tell the queen I want to see her.
You mean here? Now?
Yes, here now. What are you, deaf? Go and get the queen and bring her here.
Yes, sire, as you wish.
Oh, and tell her to wear the royal crown.
Yes, sire.
It looks so lovely on her head, all sparkly and everything. You're really going to like this.
So the servant took the message to Vashti, but she had different ideas.
He desires my presence? Does he think I'm some sort of slave to be paraded around in front of his drunken friends? You tell the king I said no. I won't come to him. And if he had any decency, he would never have asked.
Way to go, Vashti.
Yeah, I bet that taught him not to push her around.
Oh, you think so, huh? Well, Xerxes didn't share your feelings. He was furious. But instead of talking it out with his wife like he should have done, he consulted the so-called wise men of his kingdom. They, of course, were the very souls of calmness and reason.
Queen Vashti has wronged not only my lord the king, but every citizen of your empire.
Yes, women everywhere will start disobeying their husbands when they learn what she has done.
That's right. Before this day is out, the wife of every official throughout the empire will hear what the queen did and start talking to us the same way.
Mark my words, there will be contempt and anger throughout your realm.
Oh, yes.
I see. Well, what should I do?
The royal bigwigs conferred amongst themselves for a moment, then answered.
We suggest...
If your majesty agrees, of course...
That you issue a royal edict.
A law of Medes and Persians that can never be changed.
That Queen Vashti be forever banished from your presence.
And that you choose another...
More worthy
queen.
Queen?
When this decree is published throughout your great kingdom, husbands everywhere, whatever their rank, will be respected by their wives.
Oh, yes.
So that's what Xerxes did.
He got rid of his wife?
Yeah.
Just like that?
Just like that.
What a jerk.
Really, I mean, how could he ever think it was a good idea to get rid of his wife?
Well, he didn't.
Huh?
You see, after Xerxes cooled off and sobered up, he realized the terrible thing he'd done, and he felt awful about it.
I knew it. He called her back, right?
Wrong. He couldn't. He'd made her banishment a royal decree, a law that couldn't be broken. He could never see Vashti again.
That's sad.
Yeah. Xerxes began brooding over the loss of his wife, and, well, that wasn't good, you see. When kings brood, they get edgy, and when they get edgy, people start losing their heads. I mean, literally. So his aides put their brains together again and came up with another brilliant plan.
Your Majesty, we have a brilliant plan.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
I trust it's better than your last brilliant plan.
It is, Your Majesty, it is.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
We will find the most beautiful girls in the empire.
And bring them here.
To Your Majesty.
Go on.
We will appoint agents in each province.
To select young lovelies for the royal harem.
They will be given beauty treatments.
And the one who pleases you most shall be the new queen.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, this suggestion naturally pleased the king very much, so he had the royal eggheads put the plan into effect.
Is that where Esther comes in?
Right. You see, there was a certain Jewish man named Mordecai who was at the palace.
Why was he there?
I think he worked there.
What kind of work did he do?
I don't know. He was probably a window washer. It's a very noble profession, you know.
I don't think they had window washers back then, Mr. Walton.
Then he was a janitor. Can I get on with this, please? Now, Mordecai had a beautiful and lovely young cousin called Esther.
Cousin? I thought he was her uncle.
Who's telling this story, you or me? The point is, Esther's father and mother were dead, and Mordecai had adopted her into his family and raised her. And when he heard about the king's decree, he immediately ran home.
Esther?
Uncle Mordecai, what is it?
Esther, my dear, I have something to tell you. Very soon, you will be taken to the palace.
The palace? But why? What have I done?
You haven't done anything, my dear, except be yourself. The king is sending for the most beautiful maidens throughout the realm. He's looking for a new queen.
But I don't wish to go.
You have no choice. Now there's no need to worry. I work at the palace, so I'll check on you every day, but... you need to listen carefully. There's something I must tell you before they come for you.
What is it?
You must not tell anyone, not even the king himself, that you are a Jew.
But I am proud of my heritage, my people.
I know you are, my dear, but it's best that you keep that pride to yourself for the present. You must trust me, Esther.
I will do as you wish, Uncle Mordecai.
Good.
So Esther was brought to the palace along with many other young girls. She had several beauty treatments, a whole year of them, in fact.
A year?
12 months of nothing but oil baths, perfume, and skin creams.
Now that's the life.
Yeah, well, finally the time came for her to go to see the king. Now, she got all dolled up, and when she walked into the palace, well, folks couldn't believe how beautiful she was.
Announcing the maiden Hadassah, also known as Esther.
And when Xerxes saw her, well, his eyes nearly popped out of his head.
The maiden Esther, Your Majesty.
Is something wrong, Your Majesty?
Wrong? No, absolutely not. My dear, you are the most beautiful creature I have ever seen.
Well, thank you, Your Majesty. I am honored that I have pleased you.
Oh, you have. You have. Send the others away.
Sire?
And make a proclamation.
A proclamation?
Yes. Tell my empire, tell the world, that Xerxes has found his queen.
We'll return with today's adventure in Odyssey right after this. And now, back to the adventure.
So Xerxes made Esther queen?
Yeah.
Just like that.
Just like that. He was so delighted with her, he set the royal crown on her head and declared her queen in place of Vashti. Then he threw a big party and proclaimed a holiday throughout the land.
Did Esther keep her promise to Mordecai about not telling anyone she was a Jew?
Oh, yes. She followed his orders just like she did when she lived in his home.
What happened to Mordecai anyway?
Well, I think Esther used her pull to get him a better job because he became one of the palace officials.
Really?
Yeah. And it's a good thing, too, because one day while he was on duty, he overheard two of the king's servants, Bigthan and Teresh, talking.
Bring me some wine, Bigthan. Clean up my mess, Bigthan. Wash my feet, Bigthan. He's nothing but a lazy slob.
Yes, well, he is the king, Bigthan. A certain amount of laziness is to be expected, I suppose.
No. And since when did you become such a big supporter of Xerxes, Teresh?
I'm not a supporter of him. But I don't hate him because he does what comes naturally to a king. No. My hate for him is much more profound than that.
Yes, I know. Because he demoted you. Well, you shouldn't have stolen those goblets.
I didn't steal them. They were rightfully mine. Long overdue payment for years of faithful service, you know that.
All right. We both hate him. What are we going to do about it?
You know what must be done.
Yes. Well, when?
Tonight. When he retires to his bedchamber. He'll be alone then, lying in bed waiting for his evening wine. You'll hold him, and I'll give him much more than wine.
They were gonna kill him?
Uh-huh.
Wow, did they do it?
Well, you remember I told you that Mordecai overheard all this. Well, he immediately passed on the information to Esther, who got the word to the king. And that night, the two servants had a little surprise waiting for them.
Enter.
Good evening, Majesty.
Ah, Bigthan, Teresh, I see you've brought my wine.
Yes, sire. This evening we have something very special for you.
So I've heard. Captain of the guard, seize them. Come here.
What?
This is an unusual goblet, Teresh.
Yes.
Shaped just like a dagger.
Oh, Majesty,
Save your breath. Take them away.
Come here. Mercy, Majesty.
Assassin!
It was fortunate that Queen Esther learned of this plot, sire.
Yes, it was, Captain. And very brave of her to send word to me through you. I'm grateful to you both.
Actually, sire, the Queen asks that the discovery of the information be credited to a man named Mordecai, one of the lower officials in Your Majesty's palace.
Yes, I know of him. Very well, let it be duly recorded in the chronicles of Xerxes' reign.
As you command, sire.
So Mordecai was a hero?
Yes, he was.
I'll bet the king started watching his back after that, huh?
Oh, he beefed up the palace guard, all right. He also made another big change. He appointed a man named Haman to be prime minister.
Prime minister?
Yeah, you know, second in command. Haman was the most powerful official in the empire next to the king himself. And all the king's officials bowed before him whenever he passed by.
Why?
Because the king commanded it.
Everybody bowed?
Well, almost everyone.
Mordecai! Mordecai!
What is it?
Haman is passing.
So I see.
Bow down!
No.
But it's the king's order. Would you disobey Xerxes?
To bow before something is to worship it. I worship the Lord God alone.
Naturally, when Haman heard about it, he wasn't too happy.
He will not honor me.
No, my lord Haman.
Why?
He's a Jew. He does not bow before men or the images of our gods.
He will bow down, or I will cut him off at the knees.
It is not just him, my lord. All Jews are the same way.
Oh, they are they? Well, we shall see about that.
Uh-oh. He doesn't sound too happy.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Did he go after Mordecai?
Not just Mordecai. He was too small a fish now. Haman decided to flex his power and move against all the Jews in the entire kingdom. But to do that, he needed the king's okay. So he hatched one of the most evil schemes in history and spoke to Xerxes about it during one of the many social gatherings at the palace.
Your Majesty.
Haman, how is my prime minister today? Having a good time?
Oh, yes, indeed, sire.
Have you tried the raspberry wine? Oh, it's delicious.
Yes, I have, sire. It is indeed wonderful. Mm-hmm. Actually, I need to see Your Majesty about some rather urgent business.
Oh, business at my party? Don't you ever stop working, Haman?
It is difficult to hold back the affairs of state, sire.
Oh, very well. What is it?
There is a certain race of people scattered through all the provinces of your kingdom. The Jews.
What of them?
Well, sire, their laws are different from those of any other nation under your dominion.
Different? Different how?
Well, for one thing, they have many feasts and festivals, which take away from the productivity of the empire.
Oh, I've noticed no lack of productivity, Haman. As a matter of fact, the kingdom seems to be prospering all around. And if the feast of these Jews contributes to it, then I say more power to them. Now, why don't you stop complaining and have some more wine?
It's not just the feast, Majesty. There are other things as well.
Other things?
Yes, sire. You see, not only are these Jews' laws different, but they also refuse to bow down before Your Majesty and his officials.
They refuse to bow down?
Yes, my lord.
I've never heard of such a thing. Refusing to bow down?
They consider it wrong. They say it goes against their religion. Only their god is to be bowed before.
Their god? Which one?
As I understand it, they only have one.
One god? What kind of barbarians are these people?
My point exactly, Your Majesty. They are too different from us. They have only one god. They bow before him alone, in direct defiance to Malard the king's laws. These people are a threat to your realm.
You may be right, Haman. What can be done?
If it please the king, issue a decree that the Jews be destroyed.
Destroyed?
Yes, sire. I am sure Your Majesty would agree that it's hardly in his best interest to let those who would defy him stay alive?
Well, yes, but to wipe out an entire race simply to make a point? Isn't that a bit drastic?
When His Majesty has a thorn in his foot, isn't it best to remove it before infection sets in?
I wouldn't know. I've never had a thorn in my foot.
Trust me, sire. This is for the best.
Are you certain about this, Haman?
I am, sire. So certain, in fact, that I am willing to pay for it personally. I will repay into the royal treasury whatever it costs to rid the kingdom of these Jews.
Well, if you're that confident, Haman, then keep your money. You have my permission to proceed. Here is my ring, which bears the royal seal. Now, you just do as you like with these people, whatever you think best.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
And now, everybody, come on into the court. Let's have some more wine. I'm tired of all these sour faces. It's time to enjoy ourselves.
So, you will only bow down to your god, huh, Mordecai? When I'm through with you and your people, you'll forget you ever had a god.
Wow. Haman didn't really do that, did he?
He most certainly did. A couple of weeks later, he dictated letters to the officials throughout the entire empire, signed in the name of the king and sealed with his ring. The edict went out by the king's speediest messengers and was shouted to all the provinces of the empire.
Hear ye, hear ye! A proclamation from King Xerxes, emperor of Media Persia, and the 127 provinces stretching from India to Ethiopia. It is decreed that all Jews, young and old, women and children, shall be killed on the 28th day of February in the new year, and their property given to those who kill them. Let the people be ready to do their duty on the appointed day.
And as the empire fell into confusion and panic, the king, Haman, and all the royal officials sat down for a drunken party. Well, when Mordecai heard about this, he put on mourning clothes and stood in front of the palace, crying out.
Why did he stand outside the palace?
Because Esther was inside, Mel.
Well, that and the fact that no one was allowed in the palace wearing mourning clothes.
Did Esther see him?
Yes, she did. And she wanted to know what the problem was. So Mordecai gave her a copy of the king's decree.
Haman wants to kill the Jews?
Not want to. He's going to.
But why?
I don't know. He's gone mad with power. Esther, you are our only hope.
Me?
Yes, you must go to the king to plead for my people, our people.
Go to him? I can't.
You must.
You don't understand. The king has not called for me to come to him in more than a month.
What of it?
Anyone, whether man or woman, who goes into the king's inner court without his summons is doomed to die. Uncle, if I do this, I will die.
Will Esther die? Will she overcome her fear to go to the king? What will happen to the Jews? Will Haman kill Mordecai? There are two ways to find out the answers to these questions. Read the book of Esther in the Old Testament and listen to part 2.